You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would please, to the John chapter 14. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Now, God and Father, we thank you for your word, your work, your grace. Spirit of God, thanks a lot. So deal with us. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen. John chapter 14, if I may, picking up in thought, we've been studying the Gospel of John, and we've spent some time in the awesome section in the hours before he goes to be crucified, John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Now, in John chapter 14, we have spent some time in the light of that, on the wonderful, wonderful encouragement and stimulus given to the 11 that are left, and then ultimately to all, that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ascension to the right hand of the Father is awesome. And God leaves us here. God, why can't we just go with you? Think of Peter, James, and John. No. Your assignment is to bear record, think of Sunday school, to bear record of my resurrection. That's why you're here. I leave you here to demonstrate my marvelous life, a testimony of who I am. Now, we did all of that in detail, I think. Now, so therefore, verse 12, verily, verily, assuredly, most, you can count on it without any question. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now, and we've spent time on this, because when you turn to John, to the book of Acts, and turn the chapters, it's all about verse 12. Unfortunately, verse 12 is removed too often, or too much so, from the thinking. And you don't hear it, you don't think about it, you don't understand it, people don't, and you'll lose out. It's the key. A key. A whole lot of keys, but it's a key, the key. Now, therefore, the works you're going to do greater works now. And we've shared at length different, we've gone in James and we did each thing. Revelation chapter 2 to the churches, each church, Jesus is looking to test their works. The great white throne judgment, God is going to test their works. Everything is about now the working. Christ died for the sin of the world, and believers are to enjoy that wonderful life. Unsaved people are to understand they don't have that life. How do you know they don't have it? Look at their works. See their behavior, and you'll know that just isn't there. There's no relationship to Almighty God in that place. Now, having said that, I'm going to zero in, because it is so awesome and wonderful, and I'm afraid all too often foreign, even though you guys know all this. But we don't understand it. Over to a book, to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, remember, it's all about believers growing, developing, learning, having a healthy, happy, holy relationship to God. That's what Hebrews. Now, and in the light of that, you come to chapter 2 and in verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We'd lose them. We have them, and I forgot this. I don't understand that. I don't have it. I lost it. Wow. Verse 2. For if, the word if, first class, means since, it's true. And it's true. The word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now, in the light of the so great salvation, so great, angels all attest to it. History attests to God's saving, wonderful wrath and grace. God, all of history, is behind us, looking at it. Now, therefore, the statement, verse 2-3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, God, what are we going to do in the light of the awesome awfulness, the authenticity that is unquestioned of who I am and what I've done? How do you expect to override it, be indifferent to it, and go out the door and do whatever you want? How do you expect me to walk away from that? And he doesn't. And he isn't. That's what Hebrews is about. Do you understand what it meant when God, you receive the Lord as your Savior? Do you understand that awesomeness of what I just did for you? What I just did with you? Do you understand that? Now, therefore, sliding over, Hebrews chapter 4, in the light of that, and you'll recall, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us, in the light of the so great salvation, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short, to miss it, to not go that far, to not go far enough. You did a little bit, but you aren't going to go that far. And you miss it. God, how great salvation, and we want to have a healthy fear, a healthy earnest being on our toes about this whole thing. Not indifferent. Now, in the light of it, chapter 4 and verse 1, into his rest, God's wonderful, wonderful rest. Now, when you're talking about works, working, the works show evidence your relationship to God if you're trusting him. Now, so here's works. But God, in order to get the works, and remember now, it isn't our works, and we did it in every time, to remind, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. No flesh shall glory in my presence. You cannot do works. All your works are dead. They are totally like your whole brain, coming, going, work, home, school, is dead. As far as I'm concerned, said God. There's no life in it. There's no life evidenced in it. It's all no good. And God, and think of Hebrews. Well, you're right here. Turn a page so you see it. And if I can, and Hebrews, and what did I say? Okay. God, you're going to go and save us from verse 25, chapter 7. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And he saves us, chapter 9, verse 14, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, he gave his whole heart and soul, as it were, to purge our sin, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Now, so having back over to chapter 4, the works. But do you understand the works aren't yours? They're his. They're his works. I don't want your works. I want you to have my works, what I do, who I am. Now, God, how does that work? How on earth does that work? Now, and the word rest has to do with resting. This word rest has to do with a final, fixed termination. No more works. Stop. Hang on. Hold your finger here. Over to Matthew and chapter 11. You're familiar. Matthew chapter 11. And picking up, if I may, in that which you're, again, verse 28, 11, 28, Matthew. Come unto me, our Lord said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, it's the same word rest, only a little different word in front of it to tie it together, to rest again, to rest again. You're working, doing, and you take a break, and you get refreshed, to be rest, to recover, to have the rest again. But the other one is final, no more rest, no more works. This one is resting, and how so? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Think of the big ox yoke, and you're on one side, and God's on one side, and you're on the other. Take my yoke upon you, and do what? Learn of me. That's what happens under the yoke. The new ox has to go and learn from the old ox, and the young ox can't escape because he's under the yoke. And wherever the old ox goes, the new ox has to go. And he gets conformed, trained. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. So, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. It's a wonderful thing I want for you. I want you to be able to rest. I want you to rest in my rest. That's what I want. Now, having said that, back over to Hebrews chapter 4. And in chapter 4, we read verse 1, his rest. Slide down to verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. My rest. So you're going to keep reading about God's rest. Not your rest and not my rest. His rest. What's his rest? As you know, what his rest got to do with works. If you're resting, where do works come in? When you're resting. Ah. Now, so God, and you have done this and said this. So down in verse 9, there remained, remember, here's the rest, going back into history, way back, hang on. Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God's people, there's a rest for them. That's right. That means that it isn't all done. The law is finished. Christ died, Romans chapter 10, verse 4. He is the end of the law for righteousness. The law is ended. But the rest isn't. And the rest that was back here remains, if you would but take it. Lord, what are you saying? The works that you're going to do are more than quantity, quality, in the sense we shared all of that, because it's my work. I'm doing more work in you and through you. How so? Now, and there remains. Now, having said that, you go with me, you'll catch it, the flavor. Hold your finger here if you like. But over to the book of Genesis. And we said the rest goes way back, as you know. And in Genesis, we have the 6 days. And God created everything in the 6 days. On the sixth day, he created animal life and man. Verse 25. Chapter 1 of Genesis, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, the cattle, etc., etc. Now, that's wonderful. On 6 days you did everything. That's correct. 6 literal days. And, as you know, each time, picking up, please, in verse 23, right in front of me, and evening and the morning were the fifth day. Evening and morning. Now, having said that, evening and morning, sliding down now in verse 31, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When you come to the seventh day, chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended, finished his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. But you'll notice there's no morning and evening. No, only for the 6 days. The seventh day, there is no morning and evening because it's finished. It's finished. You understand? There is no more. I finished it. I finished everything. That's what I want you to know. We finished everything. I did. I finished it all. I all got it all together. It just has to be worked out. That's all. I already finished it. I rested. What do you mean? I'm all done. Oh, my son has to come and die, and etc. But all of that is just working out what? What I have eternally finished. Before anything ever was, I have it finished. I don't have time, and I don't have space. So when I tell you I did something, I did it. Think of prayer meeting. Here we are in prayer meeting, make believe, in Jeremiah and that. And how can we enjoy Jeremiah? Because we're in the presence of God. Reading Jeremiah, and it's right, I'm in the presence of God, and it's right now happening to him. He already has it. So I'm talking to somebody, we're thinking, reading about it, in the presence of him who already has it all, it's already real. So I don't have to guess it's ancient history. No, it's present history for us, because we're taking advantage of it. Wow. Now, so here is the seventh day, and he rested on the seventh day. And you'll remember now as you read your Old Testament, there's a seventh day, the seventh month, the seventh year, 1,000 years. I'm trying to tell you something. I tell you it over and over. I rested. It's based on rest. And I'm trying to tell you how to exercise being alive on planet Earth and enjoy it. When you know me as your Savior, I want you to know that before, when you come to know me, honor me, receive me as your Savior, I already am doing it all. I'm making it all happen in a most wonderful, awesome way. That's what I'm doing. And all you have to do is enjoy it. I rested. I finished it. I finished you. Think of all kinds of ways. Philippians 1:6. He that hath begun, what? A good work, where? We'll finish it. I already began. I've already finished. Do you understand? It's finished. What are you going to do? You're going to outwork that which I have finished. May not be a good illustration, but think of a painting. The painting is all in the artist's mind, complete. And then I give you a prominent position, and I'm going to draw you as a little blade of grass into the picture. But I want you to know, as I put you in the picture, all the rest of it, where do you fit in the picture? Right here. Right here. And everything is all finished. The reason you're going to go right here, because the painting is finished. Do you understand? The painting's finished. That's why you're going to go right there. So when you are born physically on planet Earth, and you take advantage of being born physically, and you're born spiritually, then you're going to find yourself that I knew. I already died for you before you were born, and all you got to do is believe and understand, and I already have you saved, and I already know what's going to be, but I have you right there. Right? That's like in Ephesians. Hold your finger. I know you're not doing very well. Hang on. I'm trying to get. Ephesians. Don't lose Hebrews 4. Don't lose it, because we need it. Ephesians chapter 2. You keep putting the pieces together, pieces together, pieces together. Ephesians. God, help us. We're saved by grace. Uh-huh. Verse 5, even when we were dead in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. And when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. Grace, that's why we're seated in heavenly places, verse 6 and 7, to show his grace. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can never say you merited it, you earned it. You never did. There's nothing about you that saves you except your lostness. You're a sinner, and I made you. That's why you can be saved, because I made you to be saved. I'll say it that way. I made you to be saved. Even though you die, you're born dead in sin, I made you to be saved. Now, and thus the point, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created, where? In Christ Jesus, unto good works, there we are, which God hath before ordained, before, that we should walk in them. Before, that's right. It's that. I have a wonderful plan. A wonderful plan. I have you in the painting. I have you in the picture and everything around you. I did that before anything. And when I started, I did 6 days. And on the seventh day, I was completely done with everything that's going to be. Wow. All done. Now, what do I want you to do? I want you to understand it's not your works. I want you to learn to rest, cease, terminate, stop. I have a life and a plan for you, a wonderful plan. I'm going to use your brains and your blood and your bones and your body and your family and your background, your culture, everything about you. I already know it. And I'm going to take that. And I'm going to make it wonderfully, wonderfully extraordinary, as we've looked at, to bear record to who I am. Now, back over to Hebrews 4. So in Hebrews chapter 4, God has gone, and by faith, remember now, that's the thing. We just did it with James. Faith without works is dead. All right, let's go to Hebrews 4:2. Remembering now, we don't want to fail, come short of God's rest. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, back then in the days of the wilderness. But the word preached did not profit them. Why didn't it? Not being mixed, chewed, masticated. Think of eating food and you chew it all up and mix it all up with the acids and everything, right? You slaughter the food and send it down, assimilate it. Whoops, down it goes. Down it goes. Wow. To make it, nutrients. It wasn't mixed with faith. You didn't take my word and chew it up. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. Chew it. Destroy it. Let it breathe. Let it live. Let it produce life. And that's God. That's what you're doing. That's right. They didn't mix it with faith. And they heard it, but they didn't. Faith without works is dead. You got to connect them. Connect them. Who I am and what I've done and what I say, connect. Lock onto it in a most wonderful way. Now, here we are in Hebrews chapter 4, and in the light of all of it, sliding along, I'll read verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, they're all finished. They're all finished. That's right. I want you to know that. So, God, are you sitting there wondering what to invent, what to add something to the encyclopedia, to the dictionary? Is there something you need to add to your little life? No. It was finished. I don't need to add anything. Well, what happens if I do this and do that? I already have calculated. I already know exactly every thought, word, and deed in your little old head and heart. I already know that. So I already know where it's going. And if it wasn't for my grace, you would never get there. But see, my grace is there. And it's because of my grace where I give myself 1,000% to you and I expect nothing from you except your faith to trust me. That's all I want. And I'm going to work it out. And then you're going to do the normal things of living, breathing, eating, drinking, coming and going, and you're going to do them. But you're looking to God, trusting God, and whatever you do, at Hebrews 1 Corinthians 10, to the glory of God. Now, so therefore, God, you have this wonderful, wonderful setting for us. That's right, it's all done. And, sliding down, verse 7, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Think of Psalm 95. Don't harden your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And that's our, here we are. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, God's rest, he also hath ceased, stopped, terminated, from his own works, as God did from his. So if I'm a believing heart, I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to trust God, then my works cease. I reckon myself dead. It stops. I'm not going to look to me. I'm looking to God. It's not about me anymore. It's about him, about his grace. And God, I'm going to do the same work, home, school, study, cook the kitchen, everything you do. I'm doing it, but difference. I'm looking to you, God, thanking you that I am a new creature in Christ. Wow. And you cease from your works to know his. Now, that's pretty easy. But you know what? We like works. We like works. Because that's the way we work out what? Our little life, the way we want to live, the way we want to talk, the way we want to go. We're working out our life in the light of everything. But the trouble is, we're doing it in the dark. If we did it in the light, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Cleansing us from all sin. So we aren't trying to make any works. No, God, you already told me they're condemned. So therefore, God, walking in the light, I don't have the problem because I'm not counting on them. I may be doing them, but I don't count on them. Nope, I'm counting on you, God. Wonderfully so. Now, just think if you would, illustration for good or bad. Here you are out in the ocean, somewhere out there, and you're in a little boat, rowboat or something, and you're out there, if you can imagine that. You have no oars, no water, no compass, nothing. The boat's empty. You know the Lord is your Savior. What are you going to do? Trust Him. Would you? I don't know. If you've ever been out there, you know what you do? What are you going to do? Trust, hope a seagull comes by and drops, like the ravens, drops some food down. And here I am in another boat, and I have a compass, oars, water, and a McDonald's burger. And I got them all in the boat. What am I going to do? I'm going to do the same thing you did in your boat. I'm going to use the oars and the compass, and I'm going to trust God. You trust God, each one of you, as you go down the corridor of time, you trust God under the conditions you're living under. And each one is different. But all the trust, whether the circumstances, you may have rags, you trust God. You have plush $400 Kmart garment, and you trust God. That's what you do. Resting. What? Letting God. God said, listen, I have it all done. I have it all done. And you need to do it. Do you hold your finger in chapter 4 over to John 15? You know, I just wanted you to see it. That's all. John chapter 15. God, what did you say to the disciples, the 11 of them, up there in the upper room? You made it clear to them, wonderfully clear. And in John chapter 15, you have the picking up John 15 directly in the light of the context, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. Now, you all know the branches are easy to see at the moment. What are the branches doing in the trees? And if you forgot, when you go out, take a look-see. The branch, what is it doing? Did you see it working to grab hold of the trunk? You going to see that? The branch is just what? Sitting like this. That's all. It's abiding in the tree. The tree is feeding it water and nutrients and sustains it in storm, flood, famine, plague. It sustains it. All it does is abide. That's all. That's all it does. God, what are you telling me? What are you telling them in John? What are you saying? We need to just what? Be a branch and abide. Rest. And the whole outworking, the fruit, the leaves, the weather, all of that is going to be outworked. All you do, like a branch, is abide. And then he reminds us in verse 5, as you well know, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do, you know it, we almost would shout it. Without me you can do nothing. 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 Your works are dead. I saved you. Terminate your works. so that you can enjoy mine. Simple as that. Oh, no, then you won't enjoy him. And you'll notice why. Hebrews 4 is a very rare subject, isn't it? Pulpit in pulpit and pew. Very rare. Because whoever does that, no one believes that. No one believes like that. And that's why they're going to be saved as by fire. And they're going to end up not much, if anything, at the famous seat of Christ. But we did. We preached. I don't care if you preach a 10-point message and give it in three. I don't care what you do. What difference does it make? If it doesn't get here and you walk out the door with it, would you tell me what good it is? I don't know. Tell me what good it is. And then you got a notebook. You got a notebook and a bigger notebook. Bigger. When's the last time you looked at your piles? I bet some of you have them. When was the last time you looked at your piles? They're just piles. More piles. That's what we do. No, God, we got to get God. You got to help us. So now, without me, you can do nothing. Now, God, back over to Hebrews 4. God's wonderful, timeless person. God, you're going to do what you do. And the believer is going to exercise the relationship to you, and they're going to rest in your rest as the vine and the branch. Uh-huh. As a father to the son to the father. How do you enjoy being a son or daughter? You have to understand first, it is true. My father is a real father. My mother's a real mother. They're there. What are you going to do? I'm going to abide in the reality and sit down at the table and hope my mother does the laundry. We have a relationship. You have a God who said, I've rested. When you come to know me as your Savior, you're in a picture, and this is what I have for you. And I am the workman, and I'm going to outwork what? The wonderful, wonderful relationship you have to God. History, Israel, no. The world, never. Israel, no, hardly. A little bit here and there, but hardly, nope. And the church, nope. They just didn't catch on. They should have. The Corinthians should have. Paul certainly hit home trying to help them, as we shared in 2 Corinthians. But they didn't. Nope, we're going to do what we do. We're going to go to... I understand. I do. I understand the old nature. I have one. Now, so in the light of that, God, here we are looking to you to exercise. And therefore, you're trying to tell us that we are not to struggle and strive in everything to make it come out. We don't have to do that, no. And it isn't going to be because of our goodness. Is it going to be because we have hard things and easy things, and because we have that, we're going to have it? No. Isn't it because of that? No. And because we worry a lot? No. We want a lot. We wish a lot. We wish things were true or different. We do all of that. But when we're all done, God, when we're all done, all we did is exercise our own. It was all of us, by us, for us. And when it was all finished, what did it do? It robs us, ruins us. The whole affair, 40 years of your life. We did it. That's true. It doesn't mean you can't get saved. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get saved. Wow. No. God, here we are looking. So now, God, We're looking to you, and we do so in the wonderful, wonderful understanding, God, that you're going to go and outwork your wonderful grace in a most wonderful way. And therefore, in the process, we're going to remind ourselves that, God, you're providing. That's right. Do remember the wonderful statements, the church is a mystery. Colossians chapter 1, 26, 27, church is a mystery. And God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God, and we read Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Christ who is our life, he's your life. Uh-huh, he's your life. Therefore, we live in this body, old nature and human, all of the rest of it that we still have. And we live. We get sick. Is God sick? Is God in you sick? Is your relationship to God sick? By that I mean, it's legit. No. So what are we doing? In our sickness, we're resting in his healthiness. That's how we handle our sickness, our pain, our headache. We're resting in him as we exercise the part of it that we're living in. And therefore, God, here we are. Did you ever fail in anything? I know you're all successful people. Did you ever fail in anything? Fail. And we fail. Faulty fail. That's right. But God doesn't fail. God hasn't failed at all. So what am I learning to do? In the midst of my failure, I'm resting in his success. I'm resting in his grace. That's what I do. That's how I'm going to win. I still have it. I still have the failure. I got to whack myself in the head and do everything. But when I'm done, nope, I'm going to win. And when we come to our weakness, and we're weak like Hebrews 2 Corinthians 12 and all that, we're weak and we feel insufficient, etc., for whatever the task. But God isn't weak, and God isn't inefficient. And therefore, God, what are we doing? We're resting in your life in order to handle our life. That's what we're doing. And as we rest in that, we have the success. Oh, we still have the pain, could still have the failure, could still live with the results, but it's all right because we aren't trusting it. We understand it's our part of the system. And God, you didn't tell us to rest in our works. You told us to rest in your works. So now, God, here's the dangers, all kinds of dangers, and everything, everywhere, all kinds of things in all kinds of ways. But, God, are we able to go and look to you and be safe? Absolutely. Absolutely safe. Absolutely. Why are you safe? Because who's going to touch God? Who's going to destroy? Tell me one thing, if you can. Tell me one thing. If you're truly, truly saved, tell me one thing that can interfere, alter, give a defect to your life in Christ. Name one thing. Think of it. You couldn't. There are no defects. There's nothing missing. He's finished. Now you got to go and exercise. Outwork it. That's right. Wow. Yeah. And in the light of all our anxieties and worry and want and all of those different things. But then there's the wonderful sureness, God, that we're able to go to bed and like Lamentations, we're able to say, new every morning are your mercies and grace. And we get out of bed, go to work, go to school, stumble through everything, and we get it. But we're learning to trust God and in it because he's our life and he provides us with everything. And that's all we do. And we exercise it in a most awesome way, and we do so. And God, it works. And God, so here we are. So what are we going to do? Well, we're living in your life, God. We're having your life. Living in your life, like in the room, having your life in the room. God, here we are, living in your will, in your life, in your will. That's right. We're living, outworking 24 hours a day, inch by inch. Think of James, if we say that we are going to do thus and thus tomorrow, we are presumptuous, and God said that is sin. Don't assume you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You can plan it and do it, but don't count on it. Count on God. Don't assume. So God, here we are going and looking to you, and we're having a wonderful, wonderful, able to go forward. Not because I don't know how it's going to go or not going to go, but God, you do. And that's what we're going to do. And we're learning to trust you. What are we trusting? You're a wonderful person. You're wonderful. You finished everything. You went and died on the cross, redemption. You finished creation. You finished the whole thing. It's all. There is no future to you, God. It's all present. It's all here and now. There is no future. For you and me, yes, we have to work, find it. But not to God. It's all there. And all you do is learn to trust him and abide and do it. Well, and God, so therefore, we're not seeking to see if we can find rest. We're not seeking to see if we can find rest. We're understanding we are having rest. Therefore, exercise it. It's something you already have if you're saved. You already have it if you're saved. You already have his rest. So you don't have to hunt for it and see if you can find it. You're in it. Either you exercise it or you don't. A little bit. How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? How do you think you're going to get away with it? You're not. It cost me, my son, to give that to you. From the foundation of the earth, I did it. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and here we are. So help us in every way, God. We're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, give us understanding, give us a heart, give us light in the darkness. God, give us life in the deadness. And God, help us to understand the wonderful thing you've done for us, before anything ever was. You rested in all that you're going to do if we but let you, and all that we are to exercise and enjoy if we but look to you in the hours that lie ahead. So the hard things, the easy things, the many, the much, the world conditions in which we live, God, here we are, and we're on a wonderful, wonderful journey into your heart, God. We're headed, we're in your heart, headed to your heart. Wonder of wonders. In Christ's name, amen.